Hi, I'm Leanne Kim, and this is The Business of Thinking Big, the podcast where we talk all things business mindset, strategy, and hustle. So, if you're looking to grow your revenue, serve more dream clients, and create amazing new possibilities, then you, my friend, are in the right place. Stay tuned. Well, hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of The Business of Thinking Big. As always, I'm your host and business coach, Leanne Kim, and I can't wait for you to meet my guest today. She is the founder of Village Impact and Lady Strength, and she is a new published author. Please welcome Amy McLaren. Hi, Amy.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me. How are you?
I am awesome. How are you?
I'm good. Enjoying the summer, right? I love the sunshine and the summer. I could live in summer all the time.
You are speaking my language 100%. And I'm just so grateful that you're coming on to talk about all things passion to purpose today and all things creating a life around passion and purpose. But I'm also really excited that you are going to be a speaker this year at MamaCon.
Yeah, I'm so excited. So excited. It's going to be great.
Isn't it? So fun to think that we are going to be back in like live in-person events.
I know. Like, I really miss that. I really do. Like, it feels like it's been what has been a long time, right? It's been over a year. Like, it's almost what, 2 years, year and a half? I don't even know. A long time.
2 years. In fact, I was just thinking about this. I met you 2 years ago right now at Tribe Live when it was the last time you did it live in Toronto, or the last time your hubby, Stu, did it in Toronto, of course. Yeah. That was when you and I met.
Yes, I know. It's funny because Stu just finished that event and we were walking around Toronto after, and it was so, it's like, remember when we did this and we were able to do this? And it's like, next year, hopefully next year.
I plan to be there again. But in the meantime, I want to talk more about you and your mission. And you're such an incredible soul. I've had the pleasure of seeing you speak, of course, and being a guest coach in your community as well. So I know a little bit about you. But for those people who don't know you so well, why don't you tell us a little bit more about Amy McLaren?
Well, I am a mom to two kids. I have an adopted little guy named Sam. He is 7. We adopted him from South Africa when he was 1. And I have my daughter who is 10, going on 16. And I have a little Cali, a Labradoodle as well, which we all love very much. And then, so for myself, a little bit of my backstory, I actually grew up in the UK. I know I don't sound like I grew up in the UK, but I grew up in the UK until I was 10 and moved with my family over to Canada when I was almost 11, and did a lot of volunteering and giving back all throughout my childhood that I think has led to where I am today, being a founder of a nonprofit and someone that loves to create experiences.
I love it. And you have, you have your hands in quite a few different things, not just one enterprise, but multiple enterprises. And of course, you're married to Stu McLaren, who a lot of my listeners would know, who is the founder of Tribe. So I'm curious to know a little bit more about how you first got started in your own philanthropy journey. Was Village Impact the first charity you ever started? And what did that sort of early stages look like? Because a lot of my listeners are business owners, but a lot of them have, you know, what we call purpose-driven businesses or not-for-profit. So I'm curious to know all those early stages.
Yeah. So it's funny because I think, like I mentioned, giving back and doing things for other people and all this kind of thing was kind of interwoven into my life since I've been little. I mean, I remember going to soup kitchens when I was 10, having strangers at our kitchen table for Christmas because they had nowhere to go. So I feel like it's always been engraved, kind of interwoven into my life since I've been very little. That Village Impact is our first charity, or in a sense, it is exactly another business. Do you know what I mean? It's a nonprofit, but another business. So it's about 10 years old. It is our first charity. But as a couple, for Stu and I, and as a family, and when I was younger, we've always had this goal in mind where, you know, we give, we save, and we spend. So while we're giving, we always put money aside to save and then money aside to spend. And that's even growing up now with our kids, what we teach them. We give, we save, we spend. We always do that because it's important. So, I mean, we dabbled in a few things, like we were set on boards for different things. Well, I did. And then we would go to different volunteer events and help out where we could there. But definitely starting my nonprofit is the first and only nonprofit that I have.
Yeah. And it's so cool what you're doing. So for those people who don't know, can you talk a little bit more about what Village Impact is and how it's changing lives?
Yeah. So Village Impact is a Canadian charity, and we are a community-led charity where we partner with the government in Kenya and we build schools. So right now we've built 14 schools. We're building our 15th school this year. And each school has anywhere from 300 students to about 670. And what I love is, like, we'll come in as an organization working with our ground team, the mamas in the community, the government. So we'll build the school and then the government sustains the school. So they give the teachers the daily running, the day-to-day, when we work in partnership with them. And that's been our focus for the past 10 years. We're kind of diving into some entrepreneurial things that are coming our way, which I'm excited about. COVID put a bit of a damper on some entrepreneurial camps we had planned for our grade 13 or grade 12 students in our high school. But that's been something that's come from the community where, you know, the children have talked about wanting to learn more about entrepreneurship from local Kenyan businesses and what, how they can get involved in that. So again, we've been working with the government and local people on the ground and different organizations on how we can kind of interweave that into everything. But in a sense, we've been building schools for the last little bit.
That is so cool. And I'm curious to know, how did you, what made you decide on Kenya? What made you decide on education? Because you have this varied background of volunteerism and you know, charitable initiatives. So I want to know, why this particular avenue?
Yeah. So, well, to take it back a little more, sorry, like I taught grade one for 10 years. So I'm actually a teacher by trade. I went to school for teaching. I've got my master's in teaching. That was my background. So I taught grade one for 10 years. And we always knew when my husband and I started the charity that we wanted to do something in education. And a big thing for us is, you know, when you give a gift of education, nobody can take it away, right? It lasts for like their entire life. And then it doesn't only impact that person that's at the school. It has ripple effects. It helps their family. It helps the community. And it's like this long lasting gift that will just last a lifetime. So that was why we always chose education. We landed in Kenya after a lot of trial and error. Like, I did not have on my vision board that I will be in Kenya and that's where all of our projects will be. It came from, maybe some of your listeners can relate, is just starting something. And because I had volunteered so often throughout the world, when I wanted to start the organization, I reached out to another organization and said, you know, I want to build schools in Africa. I can't explain why I'm being called to Africa, but I feel like that's always something I want to do. And they kind of put me in touch with a contact. First, we went to Ghana. That didn't really work out very well. It did and it didn't. And I didn't trust the source and it felt uncomfortable. So we went back to the drawing board again. And then the organization's like, well, you could try Kenya and you've got to meet Irene. So we flew over and we met Irene. And she's been my partner now for 10 years. And that's why we ended up in Kenya. Came from trial and error. And then Kenya is our base. And a lot of people ask if I'll go other places. Maybe I will, but as of right now, I love what we're doing in that area. And finding like an Irene or finding those contacts that you absolutely trust is so vital, especially I think with international organizations. So maybe in the future, but right now it's still in Kenya.
It's so amazing. And I'm sure for some of my listeners, you know, what the way you talk about it is so casual. Like, it's like, yeah, we, you know, we chose this place and we've got this partner. But I'm sure for when you were, and also when you were just starting out too, it was like this big daunting thing. I want to start a charity and how. So I'm curious to know a little bit more about some of the common roadblocks that, and not even just yourself, but just people that you've connected with over the years, the roadblocks that we face when we're starting either a charity or a purpose-driven business. And also what you think we can do to overcome them.
Yeah. So it definitely, like when you said it happened like this and this, man, that's like, to get to where we got official charitable status to where I started is like 3 years of a lot of trial and error and, you know, waiting for charitable status, because in Canada, it takes forever to become a charity. It's very different from the US. There's so much paperwork and red tape, but we finally got it after that few years. So when I started the nonprofit, I Googled, right? You Google it, figure it out, find somebody that's done it and ask. And I use the same lawyer I did years ago today. So it definitely was a lot of trial and errors in there. When it comes to suggestions to help on the front, like you asked, one thing that I know for sure is getting consistent on our message or clear on what we want to do. Because when we started our nonprofit, I felt like we were putting a Band-Aid on everything and we weren't having any lasting impact or making change. I felt like every day someone would ask us what we were doing and I'd be like, oh, it's water or it's, you know, it's health, it's hygiene, it's all these things because I didn't really know. And then the message becomes, you know, no one really understands what you're doing and it's not clear. And then finally I went back to, you know, education was what I've always wanted, but I got all distracted with all these other, these other ways that I could help. So I think definitely getting consistent and clear on your message is really important when starting out, because then it becomes easier for people to share what you do, right? It becomes easier to attract people that you're looking for to help spread that message. And just getting to that clear point is like I did. It's like just trial and error and keep practicing, meeting new people and then getting clearer on it. But definitely having a clear message is really helpful.
That's such great advice.
And then I was just going to dive in. I have one more. I do have actually in my book, Passion of Purpose, I write about some of the obstacles and like seven ways to get over them. But another obstacle that I think is really helpful is rephrasing what we think to ourselves. So when I started the charity, I wasn't asking myself, you know, can I start a charity? It's like, how can I start a charity or how can I do this? And when you ask how, all of a sudden it becomes a little easier. It's like, okay, what's my first step? How can I make this happen? So rephrasing what we're telling ourselves, I find is super helpful as well.
Oh my gosh, I love that. And you're not going to believe this. Earlier today in my community, we did a coaching call all about six-figure mindset. And that is exactly one of the things that I said to them was we have to raise the quality of our questions. So when you were asking yourself, what if this doesn't work? You got to flip that and ask, well, how will I make it work? Or how, or what's the path? I love this so much. I love that idea of reframing because it's so, whether you're in a charity or a not-for-profit or, you know, a for-profit business, that mindset piece is so, so key.
Yeah. And asking how, right? And then like, what will happen when it works? Like, what are some of the things and success stories and changes that'll happen when it does work? It's just so important.
And actually, that's a great segue into, I'd love to know a little bit about the success stories that you've had the chance to be a part of through Village Impact. So what are some of your students up to? What are they able to create for themselves after this? I know I learned a little bit about this, again, through one of your events, but I'd love for you to share.
Yeah. So when we started out, we built our first primary school and then we built our first high school on that same property. So we've followed a few of the students through. A couple of them have their own businesses and like I think coffee and tea kind of cafe. One's a barber. A couple have gone on to university or to college. Some have helped their family friends. So there's lots of different stories. We don't hear from all of them. We try to kind of track, like keep in touch with them or see where they are, because it is really powerful to see. And if one thing is remain common, it's, you know, that the school for them brings them hope. It brings them joy. It creates community. And that's what we found too. In a lot of our schools, it's creates this hub of like love and support. And then why we built our school, we've got other organizations coming in to help and build other things around the school. So it does really become a hub and staying connected, and kids are thriving in that environment.
I think that is so cool. And I think about, you know, that ripple effect, like the things that are possible in these children's and now young adults' lives as a result of attending one of your schools. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that we all, as entrepreneurs, we all have to remember that everything that we do is creating that ripple effect. And it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when and how you want to create that. So
yeah,
I love that.
True. And it makes me think of, for some of our students, we've done field trips and we've taken some of the kids out to the city. And some of these kids have never been outside of their village and they go out to the city and they're like excited to be stuck in traffic because they've never seen traffic before. They've never seen like a knife and fork. And if anything, I'm all about planting the seeds. Like you were saying, it's like planting the seeds of possibility. So when they go back to their community, they can start to think about different things. And it's like for us too, right? When we plant ourselves in these different environments, the possibilities open up and you see what could be possible.
And that is one of the things I'm really excited to talk to you about at MamaCon when you come and speak, because I think, you know, we're kind of skimming the surface here, but I know you have so much genius within you between yourself, your experiences, Stu's experiences, even just your family experience of navigating this together. I can't wait for my mama entrepreneurs to learn all of the hacks. And speaking of, you asked me this, I got to ask you some version of this question is, how do you do it all, Amy? You've got multiple, you've got Village Impact, you've got other enterprises, you've got a family, you know, how do you keep things, like what are some of your tips and tricks to keep things moving as a mamapreneur?
Yeah. So for us, it's, we don't do anything alone. Like we have a team of people, we have help. I mean, I remember when Marla was 18 months and she's 10 now, we said no to some things to say yes to get help with the laundry and the cleaning and all those things. And that was the best investment we ever made, because all of a sudden our focus became on our children. The focus became on the business. And I really attest to our business is growing because we really kind of narrowed in our focus and had the time and weren't trying to juggle all the other things that are, you know, laundry is important. Yes. But it's like, if someone can help with that, it kind of takes that off your plate and then you can focus on something. So getting help and whatever that is, your business at home, whatever it is that can allow you to focus on what you truly love to do, you just become a better person. Like it's like you get excited, right? And you're not doing all those other extra things. So getting help, you can't do anything alone. Like we don't do anything alone. We have a team behind us. It's grown over the years, but it started for me as a mom in getting help at home and getting help with that stuff first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're preaching to the choir on this one, because it took me a long time. I was definitely a do-it-yourself kind of gal for a really long time. And I remember first time I hired someone to help with the cleaning, I was pregnant with Alex. So Julia was like, 20 months. I was pregnant with Alex. I was leaning over into our then, this was their old apartment, giant like whirlpool tub, cleaning the tub, and I couldn't get up because I was like, you know, my belly was out to here and I got stuck in the tub. And I was like, there's got to be someone that can help me with this. And sure enough, I made one or two calls. And sure enough, that same person has been with us on and off, but still primarily on for the last 7 years.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine. And not only that on the home front, but on the business front as well. Mm-hmm. Like I remember how scary it was to hire my first virtual assistant. And now you're probably like me too. It's like, how else can I empower someone else to take this on for me?
Yeah. And I think oftentimes people get stuck with, you know, they feel like, oh, it's such a big thing to hire someone. And it totally is. I remember when we first made our first hire to help a home in the business. But I think if you think about it, like just a 3 months or it's a trial contract. Like I know Stu's assistant came on and even Carrie, who works with me in the nonprofit, came on for just to work for, I think it was, we said 10 hours a week part-time. And now both Summer and both Carrie are completely full-time on this. But it feels better when you just say, okay, just 10 hours a week. And it's like, you can slowly let go. And then sure enough, it'll probably turn into more down the road.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the letting go that's the really scary part. But then you see, again, I mean, this whole conversation is really about the power of possibilities. Like what's possible? There's so much more that's possible through team, through community, than trying to do things alone. So I love that strategy. I love that. And I'm also curious to know too, just, so my husband is not an entrepreneur, but I can only imagine what that would be like to have two of us working in our own businesses all the time. Like, are there any specific strategies that you employ so that you're not kind of like, you know, things aren't exploding all over the place all the time? Because like, I can't even imagine what it would be like to have a house full of entrepreneurs.
No, it's, you know what, it has its days. Like, I'm not going to lie. I have difficulty out of Sue and I's relationship. I have difficulty shutting down. Like I have really, really hard time. I've tried meditation and I'm going to try it again, but I have a hard time shutting my mind off, and Stu's very good at turning it off. So we've kind of set some boundaries in place for us. That's a bit helpful. So, you know, after a certain time of the day, we try to not talk business, but it's so interwoven. Sometimes that's really hard. And for us, sometimes like when we take the kids to school, that for us is a great opportunity to check in that day. And so for us, it's like, okay, what's going on that day? Just making sure, blah, blah, blah. And then we can go our own ways. So it's taken some boundaries and some organization of it, but I wouldn't have it any other way because we both truly really do enjoy everything that we do. And we have great conversations. I mean, I've got to talk to Stu before his head hits the pillow sometimes because I've spoken to him and he falls asleep because he can just shut off. And I have a hard time with that, but definitely setting boundaries and just creative ways to do the business together and celebrate together. Right. I mean, I'm a multi-passionate entrepreneur, probably like a lot of moms out there. It's just so good to have boundaries in place, but so good also to celebrate together when you have those wins and celebrate each other and the business.
Yes. Oh, I love this idea of celebrating together. I feel like as a collective, we women are not celebrating our own wins enough. We need to be doing more of this. So what a great example you're setting for your children as well too, and making it really sort of a family experience. I think that's so cool. And I have to tell you that spend, save, give that you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
We do that too here.
Oh, fun. Awesome.
I don't know if maybe I even got it from you. I can't remember. I should be giving credit, but I honestly can't remember. I feel like it was from quite some time ago, but absolutely we work on that in our household too, because they need to understand the value of all of those things and that there's wonderful things that can happen, that money brings around wonderful things. I think it's important. And I feel like we need to learn how to teach our kids more about money. And that's a beautiful way to do it.
Yeah. And it's like money, like you said, it's all those three things. And it's like to save, to give, and to spend. But then with the spending, like it's okay to spend money too. Do you know what I mean? Like it's okay. You should always save and should always give, but it's okay to splurge and spend a little too. Like there's nothing wrong with that. And it's just being comfortable with money and the whole making money and being comfortable with it and how you use it.
Totally. Totally. Mm-hmm. I could talk to you forever. And one thing I definitely don't want to forget to talk about is your book. Tell me a little bit more about why were you called to write this book and what will people get when they open it? What are they going to experience? Yeah.
So I decided to write it because it's kind of been like 3 years in the making, because every time I would get off a stage talking about the charity, I had so many people come up and say, you know, I don't have this much money to donate yet. My business is only doing XYZ, or just all these kind of obstacles. And it always used to fire me up because, you know, leave an impact in this world. We don't have to donate $1 million. You don't have to donate $10. You don't even have to donate a dollar. It's like using what you're passionate about to do more good in the world. Could be you sharing your love of painting, could be you holding the door open for somebody. It's like we can all make an impact, and it doesn't have to be starting your own nonprofit. It doesn't have to be starting your own business. So my book is like creative ways for you to give back as a family and to intertwine giving back and purpose into your business. And so that's it in a nutshell, but it actually is. So it's a 7-step journey to shed self-doubt, find inspiration, and change your life and the world for better. And it's like a non-linear story of when I started the Village Impact years and years ago to where we are today and all the life lessons we've learned while building businesses and having kids and all of that good stuff.
Yes. And it also is going to support a very good cause. Is that right? Yeah,
that's right. So all proceeds from the book and all the audio are going into Village Impact to build our 15th school, which will be our first girls' school.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, that I had no idea, but that is so cool. And that's very near and dear to my heart. And so I, of course, am picking up a copy. And if you are listening to this and you're thinking about coming to MamaCon, please know that VIP pass holders are actually going to get their own copy included in your ticket. And you'll have an opportunity to meet Amy at the event. So don't forget, MamaCon is happening on Friday, October 29th in Toronto, Canada. Tickets are on sale now at mamasandco.com/MamaCon. We will link to that in the show notes. I really want you to have a chance to come meet this incredible human being in person, get a copy of her book, be surrounded by mamas who are doing all the things you're doing. Amy, this has been such a great conversation. One more question.
Yeah.
Where can people find out more about you?
Yeah, so you can find out more about me. I'm on Instagram at Amy Dow McLaren. So Village Impact is villageimpact.com and ladystrength.com. But most of the time I hang out on Instagram and a little bit of Facebook, but probably more Instagram at Amy Dow McLaren.
Beautiful. So we will link to all those in the show notes. And if someone's listening to this and they're not able to come to MamaCon, but they want to pick up a copy of your book, what's the best place to do that?
Yeah. So you can go to passionofpurposebook.com and we have lots of cool bonuses and things that you can pick up there as well. Of course. And then there's obviously Amazon and Barnes and Noble, all the bookstores.
Beautiful. Well, I think what you're doing is incredible. I'm so very grateful for you spending this time with me. And I cannot wait to spend the whole day with you at MamaCon.
In person. How exciting. I'm really excited.
I know. I'm so excited. Amy, this is great. Thanks again for being here.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Business of Thinking Big. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so you never miss an episode. We would love it if you could leave us a review on iTunes, which will help more people like you find the show. And of course, you can learn more at leannekim.com.